This is Adrian Westney Jr. Welcome to another edition of The More Abundant Life. This program features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today we're going to continue and conclude a message we began in the previous broadcast, a message on the trials of Job. If you heard part one of this message, you'll want to hear Pastor Phipps bring conclusion to this message on the Bible character Job here on The More Abundant Life. So stay tuned, stay with us for the rest of our program. We're glad to have you, and as always, we will bring you good things here on The More Abundant Life. Now, before we get to our message, as usual, we have some music for you. Here's music by Pastor Wintley Phipps.
Name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all.
You are listening to The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney, your host for today's program. And we just heard music by Wintley Phipps entitled All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name from the CD release entitled Favorite Hymns of Billy Graham. Now here's the message for today, part two of the message on the trials of Job.
The book of Job, chapter 1. God's word says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. God, if you're merciful, Job prayed, take my life. And Job's friends heard him tell God of every fear that troubled him. They heard him speak to the Lord of his doubts. He knew that the more Job prayed, the more it seemed his prayers weren't being answered. And Job's first friend, Eliphaz, said, Job, you know, if I were you, I really wouldn't talk so much. If I were you, I wouldn't talk to the Lord this way. If I were you, I would just spend my time praying for mercy. Job, Eliphaz said, Job, God is only disciplining you for your sins. Innocent people don't go through these kinds of trials. So if God wounds you and chastises you, don't complain. Now, you know, it's easy to sit back and tell people things like that. None of this was helping Job one bit. Job was offended by the insinuations of his friends. He was even more insulted because he could hear in their voices a tone of condemnation. Here was three friends instead of compassion and sympathy. Job had to listen to their words of indictment and criticism. Job must have thought to himself, what kinds of friends are these? And as you read the book of Job, you see that Job didn't take any of these accusations lying down. Job was feisty even though he was sick. As a matter of fact, much of the book of Job is the chronicle of this quarreling between Job and his supposed friends. Job said to his friends, if you got your Bible, turn with me, Job 6, verse 5. Here's Job. Job says to his friends, does a donkey complain when he's got grass? In other words, he said to his friends, you can talk this way because you got nothing to complain about. You got grass. Right now, your words to me are like bad food. Look at it, verse 6. They are like egg whites. Job says, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg without salt? He said, that's what your words are like to me. Egg white without salt. You ever ate an egg white without salt? The least I ought to be able to expect from my friends is a little sympathy. Why'd you come here anyway? You haven't helped me a bit. Since you know so much, show me where I've been wrong. I'll shut my mouth. Teach me, and I'll hold my tongue. But don't bring before me baseless accusations. God knows my heart. He knows my light. He knows how I've tried to serve him. Job's other friend, Bildad. That's another friend. Bildad the Shuhite. He spoke up. Bildad was blunt to the point. Bildad wasn't trying to be diplomatic. Bildad said, Job, look at it. Job chapter 8, verse 2. Job, you're full of wind. Now, you know, to be sick, to lose all your family, and you have friends sitting with you talking about you. Look at it, verse 2. How long wilt thou speak these things, and how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Don't you know that God cannot be anything but just? Job's third friend, Zophar the Naamite, was even more judgmental. He said, Job, I hope God finally speaks out against you. Boy, those folks, you would have put them out your house by now, wouldn't you? He said, Zophar said, I'm with Bildad on this one. You're probably not getting half of what you deserve. Look at chapter 8, verse 20. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man. If you were perfect, God wouldn't cast you away. Neither will he help the evildoers till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. Church, Job couldn't take it anymore. You know, there comes a moment when you can't take it anymore. Covered with sores, Job said to his friends, who are you to speak for God? Who are you to argue his case? And look at chapter 13. Verse 4, here's what Job is feisty. He's sick, but he's feisty. He says, you are like worthless physicians. Huh? He calls them what? Physicians of what? No value. You're like a doctor that has no value. And then look at chapter 13, verse 9. Tell me, said Job, if God examined your life, how do you think it turned out for you? Woo! And then Job says, I'm going to talk to the Lord. I'm not going to complain to you anymore. I'm going to argue my case directly to God. I'm going to complain to him. The Bible says that God listened to Job, and then God had enough of Job. And chapter 38, verse 2. God spoke to Job out of a whirlwind, and God said to Job, okay, who is this? Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who is this talking what he doesn't know? Who is this? In other words, who is this that uses his ignorance to question my providence? Who is this? And then he says to Job, gird up your loins like a man. I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm expecting some answers. Brace yourself, Job. Now, tell me, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Huh? Verse 4, tell me, Job, you seem to know so much. Who made the measurements of the earth? Verse 5, who stretched the plumb line? In other words, who did the surveying of the earth? Job, before the foundation of the earth was laid, talk to me, Job. On what are the foundations of the world fastened? Who laid the cornerstone while the morning stars were singing and all the angels were shouting for joy? Verse 7, who shut up the seas, Job? Who fixed its limits? Who said, proud waves, you can come so far and no further? Verse 11, answer me, Job. Job sat there in a comatose silence. By the way, Job, said the Lord, have you ever told the dawn to rise? Verse 12, have you ever told the morning light to appear? Verse 19, where does the light come from, Job? You know where it lives? You know all this, huh? You've been living a long time. Okay, verse 21, verse 23, verse 24. Tell me, Job, where does the east wind live? Oh, that's right, Job, in the east. By the way, Job, have you ever navigated a constellation? Have you ever guided a star? And for two whole chapters, my God, God deposed Job. God interrogated Job. Job answered nothing. You know, as kids, you ought to learn that lesson. Some of us don't learn it. But when your mama starts interrogating you, where were you when I brought you into this? Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. Huh? Job said, I lay my hand on my mouth in silence. I got nothing to say. I've said too much already, Lord. Job got ready to walk away, and God said, I'm not finished with you, Job. Like your mama. Don't you walk away, Job. I'm not finished with you. Gird up your loins. I'm not through with you yet. And for another whole chapter, God questioned Job as if he were taking a legal deposition. And when God was finished, Job said, Lord, I was talking about things I didn't understand. I was talking about things too wonderful for me to know, and I repent. You know, when we're going through difficult times, God has a way of reminding us that he's God. But you know how he does it? He usually goes back to the one thing that establishes his right to rule as God. He goes back to his creative powers. When you begin to question God, God goes back to his creative powers. Huh? Job is complaining. God says, but where were you when I made this work? That's why the fourth commandment is so important. Because when you doubt God's right to rule over your life, God takes you back. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why should I remember? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Huh? Say it with me. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Who says the 7 day is the seventh? In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger. Who is telling me this, that I can't do all these things on the Sabbath? And then God says, why? For in 6 days I made heaven and earth and all that in them is. You want to know my right to tell you how you gonna live? I made this world. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I form the light. I create darkness. That's in Isaiah 45. Huh? He said, I have made the earth. Verse 12. Created man. Even my hands. Oh, turn with me there and you'll understand. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 5. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee. Though you have not known me, you have not acknowledged me. And then God says, I form the light, create darkness, I make peace, create evil. Verse 7, I, the Lord, do all these things. And then go over to verse 12. I made the earth. And what else? Created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. So, church, whenever you are tempted to complain, God will stop you and remind you that he made you. So whenever you meet days of trouble, tell yourself the God you serve created the universe. And people who try to control your life, and there will be those people, you tell them when they come to try to create, to rule your life and control your life, when you can create a planet, come back and talk to me. When you can create a star, come back and talk to me. Story goes that one day a group of scientists had a meeting, decided that the human race had come so far that they no longer needed God. And they appointed one scientist to go and explain this to God, because they had become so scientifically advanced. They didn't need his help anymore. And the story goes that they said to God, God, we can conceive life in a test tube now. And we can even clone people now. We are so technologically advanced, we can do miracles now. And we're inviting you, you can leave us. You can leave this world in our hands now. And as the story goes, God listened patiently. And then when the scientist was finished, God said with a very kind voice, very well, but first, why don't we have a man-making contest? That sounds like a great idea, said the scientist. He said, let's do it. God says, now you understand that we're going to have to do it just the way I did it, you know, back in Eden. And the proud scientist said, no problem. And he bent down and grabbed a handful of dirt, and he knew he held in his hand all the building blocks of light. And God looked at him and said, no, you don't understand. First, you have to make your own dirt. We can't even make dirt. And the first words of the Bible start out, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. This truth is the foundation of God's right to rule. Hallelujah! The doctrine of creation is at the foundation of our understanding of who God is and who we are and what our relationship to him ought to be. The doctrine of creation is the key to understanding the meaning of life and your true relationship to God. That's why when Job was tempted to complain, God took Job back to creation. Where were you
when I laid the foundations. Have mercy. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. And then one last verse. If you can go over to Job 23. Flip over to Job 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, but I can't perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I can't behold him. Verse 9, he hideth himself on the right hand. I can't see him. Oh, but then Job's faith kicks in. He said, but he knows me. Hallelujah, he knows me. He knows the road that I'm traveling. And when he has tried me, I'll come forth as gold. God always takes us through trials to make us shine. He always takes you through the furnace to prove you. The fiery furnace for some believers, for some of you, the fiery furnace is what you're going through with your family. You know, there are people, even your family, want to oppress you, keep you down, keep you back. They don't like the fact that you're blessed, and they try to hold you down. And some of you, that's your fiery furnace. For some of you here today, your fiery furnace is the slander, the stuff people are saying about you, and they don't know what they're talking about. Huh? I am amazed how many people talk about me who have never met me. They say they know me, and then when people ask them, well, when did you meet him? I never met him, but I know him. In this world, if you're a Christian, expect to go through that fiery furnace. Expect to be misunderstood, misrepresented, to be maligned. Some people, their fiery trial is the devil telling them that God will never forgive you for that. And it bothers you. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. For some, a fiery trial is the loss of a loved one. Perhaps your child is sick, your wife's health is declining, your husband has had a stroke. That's your trial. For some, your trial is that business that you thought would flourish has brought you to the brink of bankruptcy. And you're going through a trial. Who knows for you what trial has been laid upon your life? But God, I got a word for you from the Lord today. God never puts junk into the furnace. If you are being tried, it's because God sees gold in your life and he wants to burn out the dross so that the gold can shine. Someone said he places the most precious gold into the hottest part of the fire. He heaps on the coals till the heat is terrible. So if you're going through something, remember the gold is put into the furnace to make it more pure. You're exposed to trials 7 times hotter. And I can tell you the very trouble that fills your life today, you're going to thank God for it tomorrow. Did you hear me? I said, did you really hear me? The very trouble that fills your life today, you're going to thank God for it tomorrow. Yes, because it will reveal, the trouble you go through reveal defects of character that need to be dealt with if you're going to make it to heaven. That's what trials do. Review and Herald, God permits us to be placed under circumstances that will test us to increase our love and to perfect our trust in Him. If you trust God, the trials will always prove a blessing. Oh, I like that. If you trust God, your trials will always prove to be what? A blessing. So even when you're going through it, talk hope and faith. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he did what? When he prayed for the very people who were criticizing him. Are you listening to me carefully? When Job prayed for the very people who were talking about him, who were indicting him, who were calling him names, telling him he's full of wind, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he sat through all of that. God turned the captivity of Job when Job did what? Prayed for his friends. And then also, the last part of that verse, the Lord gave Job what? Twice as much as he had before. Now, you know, that made the devil mad. Now, how about you? Are you being faithful through your trials? Or are you complaining?
Well, that brings us to the end of our message for today, and it concludes the two-part series on the trials of Job as presented by Pastor Wendley Phipps. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, you can call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. You want to ask today for program number 325. That's program 325, which will reference part 2 of this message on the trials of Job. You may also email a request to the Seabrook AV, that's audiovisual, seabrookav@yahoo.com. That's the email address, seabrookav@yahoo.com. Again, refer to program number 325 for today's message. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you, as always, the best for this week. If you have a week coming up ahead of you, depending on when you're hearing this program, I hope you'll join us again, though, for another program. Until then, though, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life."